Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Welcome to the show where the stars are the sports people in Newark. Tony, play the music. Tonight's show, we have the brainchild behind the success, that is the Newark Rugby Club Girls. Mark Dobb joins us on the phone at about 20 past. And as professional boxing returns to Newark on Sunday, we welcome back into the studio Andrew Lowe and friends. Tony will tell you his boxing story, and I won't have a clue what's going on. After last time's memorable interview, what could possibly go wrong? I'm Mick Bradley, he's our boxing presenter, and this is the Andrew Lowe Show on your wireless. But first, it's time for a new feature. Every Wednesday, we're going to choose one of the headline stories making the national papers and ask our professional journalist, Mr. Smith, for his opinions. The only problem is, I haven't told him what the story is. See, last night he told me as a professional journalist. Tonight we're going to find out. So, his story that he needs to pass an opinion on is this one. The British bobsleigh is set to withdraw funding from the women's team just 5 months before the Winter Olympics. Mika McNeil, a top female driver, said she was gutted and shocked to be told by the bosses there was no money left to fund because of an overspend. The crisis hit British Bobsleigh and Skeleton Association, known to me and you as the BBSA, is the country's best-funded winter sports governing body and intends to continue supporting the three men's teams on its performance programme. But it is now uncertain whether Team GB will be represented at the women's bobsleigh competition. So my question to Tony, quite simply, is it right to ditch the sports that we're not very good at in favour of putting all the money into the sports that we are a bit good at?
I think it's horrific news for the bobsleigh scene, and something should be done about it. I think it should. It's a national outcry.
Carry on, you've got 5 minutes to answer this.
No, I think I'd like to keep
it. You're not getting away with that.
Well, you know, I mean, they could always practice by going downstairs in the bath. I don't know the first thing about bobsleighing.
You're a professional journalist.
I'm a drugs dealer, in fairness.
The point is, though, Tony,
yeah,
in this one, they've withdrawn the funding because they didn't think the ladies, and I'm very worried here because we've got a lady boxer in here, the ladies was good enough to finance where they think they may get a medal. Take that right across the board, because cycling have been funded, and cycling in the UK is now second to none in the world. So that is the argument. Should we fund the sport where we are potentially going to rule the world, but that's got to be at the expense of the sports where we're not?
I mean, there's got to be an argument for and against that. You've got to say, yes, we should go where we're strong and make us all powerful and gold medal winners. But then again, you're doing a great disservice to the other sports, aren't you? You're simply saying, no, we're not any good at that, so you won't get any money.
Playing devil's advocate, then, we could go back to the olden days when we went to Olympics and come back with 2-3 bronze medals and the odd gold everywhere. Now we go to the Olympics and we're the second or third best nation in the world because that funding is going into certain areas, which is all very well if you're a cyclist, but ain't very well if you're a woman bobsleigher.
Yeah. I mean, from the point of view of a nationalistic point of view, you would say, you know, give it to the people who are good. and let us come back with loads of medals. And it's just unfortunate that the minority sports suffer. But then again, there's no point throwing a load of money at something we're not good at.
No, why do we sponsor football? Anyway, moving on. So that's what we're going to do every Wednesday. I'm going to lumber him with a question that he doesn't like.
I don't think I can make it on my knees.
Right, but our superstars, of course, are the local sports people of Newark. And let's find out what's been going off. Newark Rowing Club's Graham Price competed in his 42nd Boston Marathon at the weekend. That's on the water. 49.2k along the River Whippham between Lincoln and Boston. Saturday was the final open swim of the season for Louise, all girl. The swim took place in the River Ouse's relief channel at King's Lynn, and despite awful weather, she managed to finish fourth overall and second female veteran. An excellent finish to the season, even though, Louise, you're not a veteran at all. Newark Rugby Club's under 18 girls look like they're going to be in for a good season, if the result at Mansfield was anything to go by. But I'm going to let Mark Dobb tell you all about that in a few minutes.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Not too sure what you call the group of boxers, but whatever it is, we have one here tonight. One less than on my card. But Jake Sharp's come back to see us after his epic victory last time, despite a memorable comment from our leader, which has gone down sort of in the annals of Radio Newark and constantly is brought up at the meetings. Ollie Marple's come to see us, and Nina Bradley's come to see us. Nina, Nathan, your partner, was due to come to see us tonight. He's not here. What have you done with him?
I've left him at work.
You've left it. So somebody's got to bring the money in, haven't they?
Of course.
Of course.
That's the man.
I just got one question. Just come a little bit close to that mic for you, mate. I was just going to ask you one question before I let Tony take over the proceedings. If there's an argument in your house, who wins it?
Me.
Yeah, I thought that might be the answer somehow. I think that was going to be the even answer if he was here as well, wasn't it? That took a long time to think about. We brought the boxers back, of course, because Sunday sees professional boxing return to Newark, and Andrew's going to tell us all about that in a moment. But, Andrew, before we get to the local scene, and I'm probably going to get the names wrong. Use this one here. Yep. Okay, use that one there. I'm probably going to get the names wrong, but yep. I woke up on Sunday morning to a rant on Facebook.
Yeah.
118 to 110 to Canelo.
Canelo.
That's a big, okay then. GGG won 8 rounds clearly, at least, in capitals. This clueless, corrupt judge has ruined boxing. Was that how you felt on Sunday morning? Or is that how you felt on Wednesday night?
Wrote that, sounds like they know what I'm talking about. That's what I felt like. That's what I felt like at 4:45 when I went back to sleep. Yeah, I thought he was... a lot of people think Canelo won. But Canelo did look good in parts and for the few rounds. But if you watch the fight, or I watched it, Golovkin was pushing the pace, setting the pace. He was on the front foot all the time. He was taking the fight to him. I know you can have an argument, well, boxing's about getting it hitting and not getting hit, but Canelo was getting hit. He took it well, to be fair. He took some big shots. I mean, Golovkin took big shots, but on a personal opinion, I don't think Canelo hits hard enough for a middleweight, especially at that level. And Golovkin can put a bear on its backside if it whacks it. But I just think it's Robbie.
This is why we have him, folks.
I think it ruined boxing that night. You had that circus with McGregor and Mayweather. That's absolutely... I didn't even watch that. It was a joke. And then you got Rio Ferdinand saying he's going to become a pro boxer at 38. I don't know what's going on. I think everyone just thinks it's an easy ride, this pro boxing.
Okay, we've dropped on to two subjects. two subjects, and I want to talk to you about them both. Let me stick with this fight.
Yeah.
As I understand it, and I'm not the boxing aficionado, that's Tony's job. As I understand it, there are three judges.
Yeah, right. Supposed to be.
Now, assuming this was all above board,
yeah,
which you would expect it to be at this level, it should be,
yeah,
they... they know the rules of boxing and they know what they're marking on. It's not about opinion, surely. It's about what's happening actually in the ring. So my question to you, really, Andrew, is one of them got it more or less as a draw.
Yeah.
But the other two was a mile apart.
Not really. The other one was it 115, 130, wasn't it?
So that was a mile away from the third judge.
Yeah, the third one, that was ridiculous. You're saying there that Canelo won 8 clear rounds. So out of the 12 rounds, Canelo won 8 clear rounds. And I disagree. I've had a few rants with people, but in my opinion, Canelo did not win that fight. I had him winning 5 rounds, clearly, max. And I think Golovkin won the rest. I mean, it's strange as well, because American judges, they like a front-foot fighter. They like someone to take the fight to the other opponent. And that's what Golovkin was doing all night. But like I say, Canelo looked good, looked flashy in parts with his 5 or 6 punch combinations. But Golovkin was just like, yeah, fair one, let's go. It was straight on him again, whacking him. And I just think it was a travesty, really, to be fair.
Talking of travesties, I mean, boxing is the noble art. I mean, I've admitted already I'm not the greatest fan of boxing, but it is the noble art.
Mm-hmm.
The circus that you've already alluded to with McGregor, the circus that surrounded that.
Just an event, wasn't it?
And now this Rio Ferdinand thing, ridiculous. You know, I mean, come on. Is this downgrading your sport?
Yeah, it is. This year, it's really been downgraded. I mean, that was just a money-making scheme for McGregor and Mayweather, and I believe that. And then you got Rio Ferdinand at age 38. He says he's going to be a pro boxer. You've got Richie Woodall, who's training him. Richie Woodall is a highly respected boxing pundit, boxing trainer, former world champion. He's on the GB squad, trains all them lads. I just can't get my head around why he's endorsing this. I mean, some people might say, oh, come on, everyone's entitled to a chance to have a go. But boxing, you don't have a go. People get killed boxing. And that sounds harsh, but I've got like these training twice a day for 7 or 8 weeks, busting the coconuts and Nina training hard, and then you got someone who's just...
Have you busted any coconuts, Nina, just as a matter of interest?
And she just only Nathan's. And then you got an ex-pro footballer thinking, yeah, I'm gonna have a go at that. You have a go at like tennis and a bit of like I don't know, netball or something daft, don't you, or a bit of fishing. But you don't come out and just be a pro boxer, do you?
I mean, I'll have this guy on every week.
There's been a few success stories. You've got Curtis Woodhouse, who obviously a pro footballer, and who's come back into... he was former British champion, he's come back into boxing. You've got Leon McKenzie, who retired last week after a war down south. He's ex-Norwich footballer, you know, Leon McKenzie. And
yeah, I mean, it works, but 38?
Yeah, I mean, he's 38 when he retired, and he just said he can't do it no more. And I just think, I just don't even think he should get his licence, to be honest, because I've seen a few videos of him. I don't know if he's messing around, but it looks like Bambi on ice. It looks like Stevie Wonder. I'm not joking.
Here we go, we're back to Stevie Wonder.
It looked like Jake in the corner of the week. I didn't see the pads. But I just don't think it's right for professional boxing.
It's wrong. And I
tell you what, it's another Freddie Flintoff.
It demines the sport, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. People are laughing at it now, aren't they? Because everyone's going, oh, I'm going to become a boxer. Yeah.
The sport that they're good at, and okay, you can argue if Ferdinand was good at it, but the sport that they're good at, let them do that.
Yeah.
And then do what they always do, turn into
a commentator with Gerard and Neville and that.
Anyway, let's talk local now. We've got that off our chest. So let's talk local.
That's my opinion, isn't it?
Last time you came in, professional boxers was coming back to New York for the first time, and it was hoped it was going to be a success, but you'd got your fingers crossed a little bit, and it must have been a success because you're coming back again.
Yeah, you must be dead. Oh, but I thought you said we was coming back.
You're a success.
yeah, it's coming back in. It was a good show. Like Nina won on a debut, Jake won on his debut. It was Carl always puts a good show on. You know, it's always good fights on. There's never anyone who walks away and says, oh, that was crap. You know what I mean? It's always good fights. It's on a Sunday afternoon this time, so we're a bit different. It's got 6 fights. It's going to be good. For four local new fighters, or hot talent.
What's made you go for Sunday afternoon?
I don't know. I don't know. Do you know, Jake?
The venue wasn't available to
us. Oh, the venue.
Well, that's a good answer.
That's what it was.
I don't know. Yeah, because like I was saying last time, Newark can't go a venue, really, has it?
No.
But the showground's a good, nice little venue. So what he's done this time is done the Like, I think he's done how many tables has he done, VIP? He's basically done half and half. He's done
because the juniors, didn't they? The kids went up there the other month. Yeah. And I went up to see it, and it was a cracking afternoon.
Was that a day? What was that, day after the pro show?
Yeah.
I didn't go to that, but yeah, it was good, wasn't it? So, he's done half.
Well, you was there, Neil, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you was there. With your broken wrist. Yeah.
Hand.
Yeah. Oh, she was still in the boxing gear walking around telling everyone.
I won.
And then, so he's done half and half his time. He's done half standards tickets. He's half done like tables with a Sunday, nice Sunday dinner and that, which I will be partaking. And then crack on with the boxing.
Good. And there are still a few tickets left, I understand.
There's a few tickets. I know Jake, yeah, all these have got tickets. Jake's got rid of a few tickets. Yeah, in the Ollie. Yeah, they're doing well. Doing
so
well tickets.
What we're going to do is I'm going to get Tony to talk to our boxers after we've had a talk about girls' rugby. Andrew, the scene with Carl at the moment, the two of you, I see on Facebook you're out. You're out regularly still.
Yeah.
You're still very, very busy.
We are very busy. We don't get to spend as much time with each other that we used to, but we do see each other now and then in the week.
But, yeah, very it sounds busy. So sweet, doesn't it?
Yeah, we do see, yeah, we are both busy. I mean, he's got the Russian coming back, David Avanesian. He's coming back, I think he said. Got Sam Bowen, Britain's hottest prospect. Anyway, he's the man. He's in line for a British title. Obviously, you got the new lot who train, other people. Yeah, it's good. It's booming. Jim's booming.
Quick word, because Tony's going to concentrate on your three boxers that's here after half past seven. Quick word on Nathan, who's been sent to work to earn the money to keep the to keep everybody going. The boss has put a foot down. I'm going on the radio, you're going to work.
Hey, do you know the funny thing is, though? I'll tell you a quick story about this. So I left the gym, and Nathan's working in the gym, and he's like, give me a mention, Lou, won't you? I says, well, you come down, won't you? I says, no, I won't make it. I says, yeah, you will. We finish at about seven. No, we about Nina told me it was half six. Nah, no, she's done there.
So now we know the reason he's not here.
I says, no, man, she's coming at seven. He wasn't happy about that. So there's going to be eruptions in the boom boom household tonight, isn't there?
But she will win.
Yeah.
She told us that.
Boom boom will be boom
boom. So what do you expect of Nathan McIntosh on Sunday afternoon? I know you're going to say a win, but elaborate.
I know the lad who's fighting. He's just fought John Wayne Hibbert and Curtis Woodhouse and lost by a couple of points. I've seen him fight a few times. He's from Latvia or Lithuania, but he's not your normal road sweeper. He's been promoted. He's a tough cookie, and I've seen him fight a few times, and he's good. And he will test Nathan. And,
you're all right. Carry on.
And do you know what? I expect him to give Nathan a fight, but Nathan's the best. Nathan's got his weight down, hasn't he? His weight's good, and he's got his bit between his teeth and whatever. I mean, I don't see him as much as obviously Nina and Carl, but from what I've seen, is Nathan's got skill. He's fast and he's sharp, and he's got a bit of pedigree. And I think that'll tell on Sunday.
So you expect him to come through?
Yeah, beat him, and I think he'll get another title shot somewhere. Like, that's what he needs. I think he needs skill for fights like that.
Back with boxing on the Andrew Lowe Show in a few minutes. coming up next, if I can drag Mark Dobb out of a meeting, we're going to talk girls rugby. Now, as you know, and I did say last night, I've got no favourites. All the sports people that come in here are all treated the same, with the exception of the Newark Rugby Club girls, who are my favourites. And we spoke last night to the president of Newark Rugby Club, and we also spoke to Jess Weaver, the very latest international to come out of that team, and the pride, I think, of this gentleman we're going to speak to now, who I introduced earlier on as the brainchild behind the whole phenomenon that is the Newark Rugby Club girls. Good evening, Mark Dobb.
Good evening, gents. How are you?
We're spot on, mate. And can I start with Jess and that weekend? I've made a sort of a quick note here, which basically says Jess Weaver pulling the trees up on the field and Maddie Cross pulling the trees up off the field. And of course Jess and Maddie was the two superstars of the sort of national winning side, and they're both taking rugby by storm in different avenues. And Mark, I just want you to talk about them both, really.
Jess, tremendous achievement, and Phil and Helen must be very, very proud of how far Jess has come in, you know, relatively short time in playing rugby. If I remember Jess, I first met Jess at Jimmy's club in Leicester, where she was representing the NLD at Jimmy's, and you know, she was stood out on a cold Sunday afternoon, not really knowing what to do, that anxious that it brought tears to her eyes, and what, 4 years later she's representing England in France, and what a fantastic journey it's been. You know, she has put a tremendous amount of hard work into there, and I think, you know, with this Loughborough Rugby Scholarship, that whatever it's called, that she has now, she really has upped her game in training at Newark, and obviously her mindset has been focused on a goal, and that goal was representing her country, and a tremendous achievement, well deserved.
And that's absolutely fantastic. And while that one was going off, Maddie Crofts, who captained you all to that national championship, she's going down a slightly different avenue with her rugby future, if hopefully she gets her own future as she wants it.
Yeah, Maddie's, you know, not just looked at rugby as a future, but also as a officiating, as a referee. So she's done some refereeing courses, and has refereed over mainly school games over the last few years. But the NLD, the Notts Link Derby Referee Society, asked her to get involved there, and I don't really think they were expecting her to answer these emails and fill these forms in. And you know, the stubbornness of her, not, you know, taken from her mother probably, has gone, yes, I can do this. And she's created a little bit of a headache, which has led to today's conference that she's been to about how we promote female officials in the game of rugby. And she's gone and put it from a young person's point of view that's had many, many obstacles chucked in her way since she's been appointed as a society referee. So yes, and you know, she's made them scratch their heads, shall we say, and with what I've heard anyway.
And quite rightly so.
Yeah.
But the big point, and leading up to what is happening on Sunday, is that 3 years ago we sat in this radio studio and you'd got probably half a dozen players, and you were sort of putting a play out between us and the advertiser, and you know, is there a future? Does anyone want to play girls rugby? And the fairy tale sort of took off there, and it's still going on. Those two are your flagship, so to speak, but there's numerous of those girls that's making a name for themselves in the game.
Yes.
And
this Sunday,
Mark, tell us about it, but this Sunday gives everybody a chance to come and see what it's all about.
Yeah, so on Sunday, the NLD are running a girls' festival for 13, 15 and 18-year-old girls. They're all teams from around our region, and not too far away, Peterborough, Castleford, Cannock, I think they're coming as well, and one or two other teams that are about maybe an hour and a half away. They're all coming down, so we're expecting probably 50 teams altogether, probably 300 girls, maybe 400 girls, and we're going to have some fun playing rugby. You know, every available grass space at Newark will be taken up Sunday afternoon with girls playing rugby,
and people are welcome to come and watch it, Mark.
Yeah, people, more the merrier. There is a little admission fee that the Notts Link Derby Society put on, but you get a raffle ticket and a chance to go and see England play at Twickenham within that fee. But, yeah, everybody's welcome. The more the merrier, especially Newark people. Let's have plenty of support from the Newark people. It's not competitive. There is a trophy at the end, but it's not the be-all, end-all. This is about getting girls playing rugby early season, giving as many girls as much opportunity as they can, especially the new girls, and just playing it in a nice, fun environment. And, if you're around and you're doing nothing Sunday afternoon, and let's hope the sun shines like it has done since last Sunday, that we get plenty of people watching and we inspire many girls to come down to Newark on a Thursday night.
Excellent, and Radio Newark, of course, will be there as well. Mark, we'll see you on Sunday afternoon. Please go down there, because, you know, there's not many sports that you can take up at grassroots level for the first time and go on to play for England.
And still be
representing Newark Rugby Club. And I mean, that's just a fantastic achievement. And Alan Swain spoke so highly of both you, your coaching staff and those girls last night. He is so proud that you are part of Newark Rugby Club. And we're so proud that you're part of Newark and friends of Radio Newark. Mark, I know you've got a meeting to go to. We'll catch up with you again very soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, cheers. Mark. Bye-bye. Mark Dobb there, the head coach of the Newark Rugby Club girls. Let's find out what's happening in the big world of sport before I let Tony loose with our boxers.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
The International Paralympic Committee has postponed its World Championships in powerlifting and swimming following the earthquake in Mexico City. Tuesday's earthquake killed more than 200 people and toppled many buildings. And of course, this is very poignant because last week, Natalie Blake was in these studios telling us how she was so looking forward to going and representing Team GB in Mexico. Spoke to Natalie today. She doesn't know when or where it's going to happen. She's waiting for that phone call, but as soon as she gets it, she's going to let us know. Wasp and ex-England centre-half Danny Cipriani could be out of action for up to 3 months with a knee injury. The 29-year-old, who won the last of his 14 international caps against France in August 2015, was hurt in the Wasps 24-21 Premiership defeat by Harlequins on Sunday. And finally, Mark Sampson is set to leave his role as England's women's manager after fresh misconduct allegations were made. It comes after his side beat Russia 6-0 in the World Cup qualifier on Tuesday. The 34-year-old took over in 2013 and has led England to successive semi-finals in major tournaments. He was accused of discrimination but has been cleared of any wrongdoing by two investigations and permanently denies any allegation. The exact reason for his exit remains unclear, but the FA is expected to confirm this departure at a press conference.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
And this is the time where I take a back seat and hand you over to Radio Newark Sport's chief boxing correspondent, Mr. Tony Smith.
Thank you, Michael. Hi, guys.
Yep.
The doors open at 1:30. Boxing starts at 3 on Sunday.
That's right.
And there are six bouts.
Yep. There was seven, but do you want to swap them over?
We're just playing musical microphones.
Yeah. Doors open 1:30. First bout 3 o'clock. Six bouts. All four rounders. So it'll be a good afternoon. Good afternoon of boxing. Yeah.
It's the second boxing show, or professional boxing show in Newark of late.
Yeah.
How long ago was the last one?
Well, I boxed on it, 2007.
Yeah? And the reason for it not coming back again is the lack of venues?
No. Well, when we boxed there, I was fighting at home quite regularly. We used the Grove, you know, the old Grove.
Yeah.
And a few there. It's a nice venue that was. And then I think the last place Carl used in Newark was Magnus. That was my last fight. That was in 2012. And then, obviously, now we've got some fighters in Newark. Got some fighters in Newark. See, we can build a...
Paparazzi.
Build another show up, you see, using Newark fighters and build their reputation and get them built up and get a fan base and crack on.
Just going back to this Rio Ferdinand thing that we spoke about earlier, I mean, you can't just think, I know, I'll become a boxer. It's got to be in your...
You shouldn't be allowed to do that anyway.
In your soul, isn't it?
I know, yeah, it's got to be, yeah. I mean, I trained Jake for a year before his pro debut, and he was messing about doing that silly white collar stuff and that. And then I've trained... Ollie just come down for a bit of sparring, and I sort of kidnapped him. I've been training him for a year. So they've been training for a year. I've been training him as a pro for a year, and they've had a fight. Obviously, Nina was on the circuit a long time, the amateur circuit. She's turned pro. Same with Nathan. I think it's wrong. But
you've either got a boxer inside you, wanting to get out, or it's something that you just don't do.
No.
Because you've got to have that ability, that instinctive ability, to get out of trouble at times.
At 38. Because you just thought, Jeez, I always wanted to be a boxer. I always wanted to be a boxer, so now I'm going to be a boxer. No, and he also wanted to be a footballer, which he was damn good at, wasn't he? Earning a lot of money.
Yeah.
And now what he's saying is he misses the limelight, doesn't he? That's what he's saying. He misses the rush, he misses you know what I mean? He misses entertaining, he misses taking part. So he says he's going to be a boxer.
But if I can put it in my experience, I interviewed Ishan Pickering. I got on really well with Ishan Pickering, smashing mates, since he was 15 years old.
I told you Tony Smith would do his story.
But when he actually won the Commonwealth belt,
yeah,
with a knockout, or a TKO,
yeah,
I was interviewing him 2 feet apart,
yeah,
and I said to him, how did he do it though, Ish, mate? Because he hadn't got a punch. And the look in his eye was a boxer, yeah, looking at me, not a mate.
Yeah.
And if you said that to Rio Ferdinand,
yeah,
he would laugh back at you.
Yeah,
like, yeah. No, I don't know where it came from, mate. But when a boxer looks at you, you know.
I know, yeah.
You know, it's just.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know how long he's been training or whatever. I only heard it. I thought it was a joke yesterday, actually. I thought everyone was taking the mickey. But then actually see him like on pads with that tubes from Soccer AM, messing about. Doing a video on the pads, then does a few pads, looks stupid, then jumps over an edge. I don't know if that's his promo video or what. I don't know what's going on.
But it's basically, he's been taught how to be a boxer for this television show.
Yeah.
So it's just reality TV,
yeah,
basically.
Of course it is, yeah.
The cameras are following around, there's going to be a documentary made of it.
I mean, I can't see him being any better ability-wise than Andrew Flintoff. And he was a lot younger, he was 10 years younger, was he?
Yeah.
Eight years younger. Yeah. And he couldn't fight sleep, could he?
No,
so I can't see how Rio Ferdinand's going to be any better himself, unless he's been boxing on the circuit in Mexico, out the way where nobody sees, where nobody knows what you're doing.
Yeah, but it's just a bit of a shame, really, that boxing's come to
tarnish,
that.
It's definitely tarnishing boxing.
Yeah.
You, if you speak to any boxing man, Carl especially, who's boxing through and through, it's just tarnishing the sport.
Mm.
It's tarnishing the respect. It's like you say. I'm a boxer, I've got a couple of pro boxers, and they'll just think Conor McGregor and Rio Ferdinand, won't they? They'll just think it's like bloody dancing on ice or something, won't they?
Yeah,
that's what they'll think about it.
Yeah.
But it's just a tremendous shame for the sport.
Yeah, I think so.
But I also thought that the bill at the weekend, it was tremendously sad that Nicola Adams, she was on her way to a dressing room and then suddenly found out that it was what's that?
I've seen that happen before. Yeah, I've seen that happen before. Like, called Dave Ryan from Derby, was at Leeds. He was fighting on the same show, and they all got weighed in the day before, whatever. And then that day, he had something wrong with his blood, Hep B, his opponent, and he was fighting for the Commonwealth title then. So it does happen. I mean, that's what you have your medical, and pretty strict the medicals are before a fight. If you've got, like, I don't know, a swollen ear or something, or a redness in your ear, something daft like that, they'll say, no, you're not fit to fight. Because professional boxing is that dangerous. That's where you're not. Got the likes of these celebrities coming out. They shouldn't be allowed to do it.
Mm.
Unless they've got the proper elite level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they've got pedigree. But not from what I've seen.
So looking at Sunday then, starting with Jake. Who's Jake's opponent?
Jake Sharp's opponent is Justin Johnson, isn't it? Yeah, Justin Johnson from Essex. Won one, drawn one, lost one. Live opponent. Again, Jake's fighting a lad who's got a... Well, his last lad was unbeaten, a good lad. He was a good amateur when he was younger. Jake went in there, did the business after he got told. So he did the business. And then he got... and then he's got... I know this lad, Justin Johnson, because I did the other lad's corner who he beat, and he's very capable, and he comes to fight, and it'll be a good scrap. So he's fighting him. So it'll be a good fight. And he's coming to win. That's the main thing. He's not getting picked up from the airport after collecting the fag stubs. You know what I mean? He's a boxer who's coming to win.
How much, because it's not obviously not televised or video, or is it? Have you got?
No TV. None of Carl's shows have ever had TV. And what I mean by that is, it's never been funded. You know, like when TV, you see these boxing TV shows, for argument's sake, they put 50 to 100 grand in the show, which basically pays for the show. And then obviously like Eddie Earn and that, he gets all the money off tickets, that's why he's loaded. But Carl put title fights on after title fights. He's put fighters on before, you haven't even made him any money, but still put them on. And I don't know, he's probably done 100 odd shows, never had TV. You know what I mean? So he's done really well. He's had to pay a lot of shows. He hasn't made a lot. He's probably paid out of his own pocket to cover the show, you know? But it's getting your fighters on there, getting them a fight so they can progress and push on. And then eventually, if they do get to an high level, You know what I mean? It's that's when you reap the rewards, reap the benefits, you know? But you've got to build your fighter up, and you've got to have a good manager and good trainer, because a lot of these managers and trainers out there, if you go out and don't sell enough tickets, bang, just pulled off the show. Loads of fighters have just been pulled off the show the day before or on the day because they haven't sold enough tickets. Whereas, for example, Carl again, he's put lads on who need a chance, need a win, need a chance, need to get a win to push forward for a title, you know? So he's helped them out.
So... how, if you don't know much about your opponent, how do you prepare for the fight, Jake?
Well, I'll put my faith in the trainer, Andrew. He trains me how he wants me to fight, and that's how I'll go in there and fight. I don't train for a fighter individually at this stage of my career, but maybe in the future when we know stuff about fighters, it'll be a bit different, but for now.
And we've been talking about the likes of Rio Ferdinand getting into a ring. What's your mental state when you are in the dressing room before a fight?
Just zone, you're just in the zone, aren't you? Just,
that's better than last time.
Yeah, it's tunnel vision. It's a bit different. It's a bit more relaxed this time for this one. If I've got the exciting out of the way, the first pro debut out of the way, this one will be a bit different, a bit more relaxed.
So is it just tunnel vision determination?
It's got to be, hasn't it? It's got to be.
Because I saw you fighting against the guy at the... against a gorilla once, and it was like sort of everybody at ringside was going, oh my god, look at him, and then you got in there and just outboxed. Is it so you're confident in your own talent and technique at the end of the day?
Yeah, of course you got to be, aren't you? If you're not confident in yourself, how can you go in there and beat someone that's coming to beat you?
So Nina, your opponent is
That's to be announced. We're still I believe we have chosen someone. We're just
She has got someone there. Paul's got someone.
There is someone. Obviously, we had a few girls, but obviously, there's with them being all my opponents at the minute have to be flown over. So it's a case of like getting someone and getting the right price for them, because they all want to bring entourage with them, and it costs money. Yeah. So.
And your attitude as a female is exactly the same as a male in the ring, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you prepare yourself, you know yourself, you've had 8 weeks training twice a day, you know, you've come off with injuries, you know, and so by the time this week comes, like now, I speak for all of us here, we're just ready to get in the ring and go to war and put on a show, like do what we do best, and obviously we all want to come out with a win at the end of it.
Ollie? Who have you got on Sunday?
Darren Snow, he's called. I don't really know much about him, to be fair, but I think he's had how many fights? He had 18, something like that.
He's had 20. It's a journey. I know that. Yeah, he's a tough journey. Before Anthony Oliver. Yeah. Obviously, with Ollie, like I said last time, he's had hardly any experience. We've got Darren Snow, who's a tough lad, who's been on circuit. He's been one of the best lads. But I'm expecting Ollie to do a number on him, good number on him, yeah.
So you're expecting 4 Newark wins?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. It will be 4 Newark wins, yeah. 100%. Yeah. No breaking hands.
Well. 4 Newark wins, you heard it here first. You really did.
How...
You haven't finished yet?
How important, Andrew, I mean, these are young people who are making a living out of what you put on for them, bouts that you and Carl arrange.
Yeah. To be honest, it's not really a living, because if it, don't get me wrong, they do get paid, but they have to put the grass, they put the hours in. They're up in the morning training, then they work, train at night. They do it because they love it. Yeah, there's not a lot. I think people have this misconception that professional boxer, you're loaded. You're not. You don't really get any big money. I mean, you get all these fancy boxers who's all sponsored up to eyeballs, who's Simon Vettier and that. But they're like the grassroots, if you like, people like these who have to graft, they have to work, they have to train, they have to go out there, sell tickets. It's not easy selling tickets, I tell you. Go out there, sell tickets and work. They do it because they love the sport. And that's what makes these dangerous, you see, because they're doing it for the love of it, not the money.
I see you regular in different parts of the UK with Fons Alexander.
Yeah, I'm trying to get him in tonight.
Now he's what you call the journeyman.
Yeah, journeyman boxer.
Boxer,
yeah.
Isn't he? Yeah, he probably doesn't go expecting to win every time. No. He goes. almost after the money, if you like.
It but does,
is that sort of person that actually keeps grassroots professional boxing going?
You got Fonz, you got a few like him who are journeymen, but he's one of the best out there on the circuit.
So what I want to know from these three now, they've sort of set the stall out, they've probably given up whatever job they had, and they've set into professional boxing to take the money. Where, Jake, are you expecting and hoping, if that's not two different things, for to go in the professional boxing circuit? This is what your second professional fight. Let's just assume that you do what the boss says and win on Sunday. What do you look at next?
Well, at 23 years old, I've still got a lot of time to think about going anywhere. But like I said, I've always said I'd be happy with fighting for the Midlands. That's considering I never thought I'd be turning professional when I haven't really took training seriously until the last 2 years, a year and a half with Andrew. I never thought I'd be professional anyway, let alone getting a great win under my belt.
It interests me, and I never took training seriously. I would suggest you probably don't have a choice now.
Well, I thought I was taking training seriously.
Right.
But until you get into a proper gym that you know... You can't skip days when you've only got...
So what is the difference between the Jake Sharp of 3 years ago and the Jake Sharp of now?
My trainer only has me and one other every day, whereas before I was going into a class of 20 odd. You can't train 20 people in 1 hour. It's as simple as that. And now I'm going in with him. We don't have a time scale. We don't have a class we're in training for. We don't have a set time we're in there for. We're in there till we're done, and we do exactly what he says. We're in there for an hour and a half, an hour and 45. That's how long we're there for.
I mean, it comes over here, and quite right it comes over here. It's great fun. It's a laugh. Everybody's having a joke. When you're in there, at the gym, I take it you do exactly what they're telling you to do, and the jokes don't happen until you're finished.
Yeah. I don't really know how you want me to answer that. I don't know.
Yeah. When it's in the gym, it's serious business.
Yeah,
serious
Andrew, business. That's the point, you know.
Serious business.
It's fun in here. Yeah. It's fun to talk about.
Yeah.
But how serious do you take it? Because what you're actually doing is you're playing with their livelihoods, aren't you, really?
Yeah, listen. I'm pretty chilled out normally, but... If I'm not happy with what's going on in the gym, which I have been with Ollie and Jake sometimes, because I want them to succeed. What's all with you?
Nothing.
Yeah, so I haven't been happy with them sometimes, some of the things they've done, so I have to tell them, you know, because I've been there, done it myself. Can't cut no corners with me, so I've been there, done it. Everything these do, I've done. So I want them to succeed. I want them to go there and fight there. I want them to be in peak condition, which they are. So I'm happy. But, you've got... In that gym, it's serious business. There's no light on mobile phones, no messing about and that. Oh, at the end, might have a crack and all that, but yeah, it's serious business. Like you say, you're playing with the life. I don't want to chuck them in the ring because they're my responsibility. You know, me and Carl's responsibility, aren't they? So I want to make sure I can get them in the best shape I can.
So, talking to Jake then, Arlene, you've been listening to all this. How long have you been with Andrew?
That's about 11 months now. I started training. I just went down with some sparring with Jake last year, and then I started training with Andrew, and I've been training up for this moment, really, for the last year.
So before that, then, you was interested in boxing, but you wasn't a boxer then, shall we say?
I was like bitten and bobbing, like jumping between sports, really. Whereas once I went with Andrew, I decided boxing was the sport for me.
So where, Andrew, can... I take it you and Carl can see something then in, you know, he's got it, or we can work on him.
I won't waste, yeah, I mean, yeah, both lads I train. I mean, Nina's got, obviously I work a lot with Jake and Ollie. Yeah, they've both got great attributes. I think they'll definitely at least get to area level, and then we'll take from there. Like I say, Ollie's not 21 till December. Jake's, what are you, Jake?
23.
Got ages. You got a couple of years learning. Yeah, it was keep learning and learning. But the good thing with these guys I train, I've done the pads, all be sparring, and they'll do something. They'll be like, I know, shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? We're learning all the time. They take it in. I'm not wasting my time with them. I don't feel like I'm wasting my time. We're a team. You know what I mean? We're all like, you can see we all have a good crack, but we're quite tight, and that's how it is. And we all learn off each other. And when they're sparring and that, they don't take the mick out. It's control sparring and. But it's good. It's a good little.
How did it work then, Ollie? Because you went down there sparring to help help Jake out. When did it occur to you, and when did it occur to Andrew, that, hang on a minute, you can make a living out of this?
Well, we had a few sessions and stuff, and then we discussed it, and I said to Andrew, I think I want to start taking it seriously, and he said he'll speak to Carl and get back to me, and that...
The thing I was worried about was, obviously, he's not got a lot of experience. Like I say, he came down sparring, and I saw straight away, he's self-taught, really. He went to a couple of gyms and that, he's self-taught. He's always been a sportsman. He used to play for football for Cheshire, was it? And rugby for South Wales, professionally.
North Wales.
Oh, and then North Wales. And then when they had him out sprinting the other week, he said to Jake, oh, I used to be a sprinter as well. but I could see straight away, I thought, he's got something here. And obviously Carl saw it, and we had a chat to Carl, Carl's in charge, he has overall say. And that's it, we just started setting, I set about training him like one of my pros. And I've had lads come down, experienced lads, I'm not going to mention no names, and Ollie's just not looked out of place. He's just like bashed them up a bit. And I think a lot of people are going to, come Sunday, they're going to remember Ollie. Not a lot of people know him, see, like, oh, he's Ollie Marple. But they're going to remember him after Sunday, definitely. They already know Jake goes out there and puts a show on, does the business. But I tell you,
apart from Sunday, the first round.
Yeah, we'll forget about that. But after Sunday, people are going to remember Ollie, because he sat there all joking and half asleep and looking like a bit trampy. But
he's not. I mean, you three are sort of look the part, but it's sort of
that's what he's like. He's laid back.
He's going for a nice out.
He needs a 3-day warm up. And when we've got him warmed up, his final series. He's Jake, isn't he? He's a talent. He is, honestly.
Back with the Andrew Lowe Show in a minute. Oh. And the third member of our boxing trio tonight is Nina Bradley. Of course, we name right Bradley. She's bound to be a superstar. Nina, it goes against everything I sort of think. And don't worry, she's just broke the chair, but I'm sure we can get another one. Nina, we've talked to the... You see, you've done it again. That's not talk, can't she?
Just picking up outside the wall.
We've heard what the boys say, but it's... It's doubly difficult for you, isn't it? Because for a start, without being disrespectful, a lady in a man's world, which is what boxing still is. And as you said yourself, whereas these guys can find an opponent with sort of a 2-minute phone call from Andrew or Carl, you can't, because there isn't that many lady boxers yet, despite Nicola Adams's fantastic efforts in the sport. So it was a harder decision for you to turn professional, I would have thought, than it was for the boys.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we talked about it, and then it was Katie Taylor who turned over first, and then obviously after Katie Taylor turned over, I think within a month there was about 4 girls in the UK who turned over, and then that's when really we decided we're going to do it. I'd had about a year out by then from the amateurs, so I was missing it. I was ready to go back, and I'm happy I did.
Without being in any way condescending, do you worry for your looks? I mean, if these two come up with a flat nose and a cauliflower ear, that's just tough. But do you worry when you go into a ring?
No. I don't think I ever have. Like, obviously, you know you're going to go in there. You it's highly likely you're going to get hit. You know, what's the worst that's going to happen? A broken nose? We can fix that. That can be fixed.
Yeah, well, that's the perfect answer, isn't it, really? It is the perfect answer. Where do you see your boxing career going? We spoke last time when it was starting. We've gone on, 6 months, a year since we last spoke. You're still there, you're still going forward. Where do you want this journey to take you?
Like I say, there's about 10 of us in the UK at the minute, girls that have turned over. Obviously we're all at different weights, but for me, I'd like to have a few titles, which is what we're looking at for the next fight. So, you know, I'm already making stepping stones towards there, but we need to get a few wins under the belt, so... And then step forward, and then that's when you need to start taking the bigger fights, and the girls who've got obviously good amateur backgrounds and have been signed up by big promoters.
What's the girls' fighting scene like abroad? Europe, the States? I mean, it's it's fledgling here, isn't it? I mean, there's
Nina's just said, like Nina said, it's just breaking like? Up. I don't, you know what? I don't know, to be honest.
Is there a future for the Nina Bradleys?
Yeah, well, you can.
Is there a future for ladies in boxing? Yeah, put your neck on the line.
In Britain? Yeah, it was because obviously, it's like Nina says, since Katie Taylor's turned pro, there's been about ten who's turned pro.
I mean, she's almost leading the country forward, didn't she? I know I made a big thing about the rugby girls.
Yeah,
but what's happening there on a different scale?
Yeah, I definitely think it's like as soon as one, it's like Shala Shanta. As soon as one does it, yeah, I'm going to do it. So there will be more. There's been another one in Doncaster who's turned pro. There's a girl in Birmingham Way who we're looking at. Well, the car's looking at for Nina, hopefully in a couple of fights, who's turned pro. There's definitely fights out there. There'll be more coming. It's just taking that plunge, because obviously, like I say, ladies are like, ooh, you know what I mean? I'm a lady. But even though they've all been boxing, they'll do it now, you see, because others have done it.
You have to earn respect in anything you do, I know that. But do these guys accept you for what you are, a professional boxer, or do you have problems?
I believe they respect me. I don't feel ever, you know, even as an amateur walking into a boxing club, I've never felt out of place. You know, training, because obviously, like you say, it's a man's sport. You go in a gym to box, you're around men. You might get a couple of girls in there now, but I think they all respect you. You come there, they know what you're doing, they know how hard it is, and stepping in a ring, it's not easy.
Because when you first started, Andrew, this would be unimaginable.
Yeah, I never knew any. I mean, it was 11 years ago I turned pro. No, I think there was one girl called Sarah from somewhere, I don't know, that was it. She was pro, but I've known Nina for a few years now. I don't only see her as a boxer, to be honest. Don't see her as anything else.
The mentality to go into a ring, you have to go with that mentality that you're going to win. Probably more so in boxing than any other sport. You can't have an off day.
No.
In boxing, you can't go, you know, in a football match you can hide. In a rugby match you can probably hide. In a boxing match,
you can't hide.
There is nowhere to hide.
And if it ain't going for you bite down a gum shield and you say, right, this ain't happening.
Tony's told me in the past, when you get in that ring, and he's been in there presenting prizes, but he's been in there, there really is nowhere to go.
Yeah, there ain't nowhere. It's a lonely place.
So boys, I know Jake said you get in the zone and that's it, the mind is there. And I know the answer to my last question is, yes, you are going to win and you expect to go to win. How disappointing is it if it doesn't come off on the day? Is it sort of get back in that gym, find out what went wrong and put it right next time?
Yeah. You know what? When I lost my first pro fight, I was back in the gym a week after. Just get back on it. Crack on. Everyone loses. Not just about everyone. You're learning all the time. I tell you, it's a lot of people, a lot of these prospects, like, oh, I don't want to lose my unbeaten record, but you got to go out there and take a chance. You got to go out there and have a fight. And if you lose, come up short. You, like I say, you go back, rebuild, and you go again next time.
And we've got three unbeaten records up for grabs at this weekend. So let's just hope when we talk to you again, Andrew, on the phone next Wednesday, probably next Wednesday, we'll sort of that. We've still got three unbeaten records. Yeah. Thank you all for coming in tonight. I know it's a big week for you, and the last thing you really want to do is come and talk on a radio show, but thank you all.
He loves it.
the best of luck. You don't need luck because you're from Newark, so you're going to win, but go out there and give it. Still a few tickets available.
Yep, tickets.
Contact these guys. Contact Colgreaves at the gym, whatever, but there's still a few tickets available. If you want to go, get down there, support Newark, because that's what it's all about here. That's what we're here for. Go and support Newark. And talking of which, tomorrow we talk to young Nottinghamshire cricketers. Two young ladies, in fact, and they've had a great summer of sport. Tell you more about that one when we come back tomorrow night. We love Newark.